Noel DeBean, welcome.
Hello, John.
Oh, we've got over the chaos of the quiz.
We have got over the chaos of the quiz. I liked the whipping question.
You liked the whipping question?
Yeah.
No, you were telling me. It goes on in Eastern Europe. The sort of the willow switches are brought out on all occasions.
Look, it's years since I've seen it, but I've seen it for myself, having, you know, been to church on Easter Sunday and woke up on Easter Monday and found drunken young Czechs lying all over the riverbanks and squealing young Czech women who all have sort of welts on their legs from the willow switches that the boys have beaten them with, and as a reward they have to give them a little shot of Slivovitz or Marunkovitz, so it's chaos.
Well, it sounds like there are sort of powerful psychosexual overtones sort of rippling through this
well,
ritual.
I'm not sure it had much to do with the parish, not by 10 a.m. on Monday morning anyway.
Oh, where are you off to tonight?
We're off to Malawi, off to Africa again. Malawi, Mozambique and Zambia. Because, and we haven't spoken to the Adventist Relief Agency for quite a while. We spoke to them last year, but it's actually quite a large agency. It's not such a large church in Australia, but of course it's a large church internationally. And their agency here is well connected. I think they're in about 125 countries. But this particular person, Marlon Butler, is program manager for the three countries of Africa. He moves around, and a lot of his work is to do with AIDS, food security and AIDS, because they're both quite closely linked. Marlon's on the line now. Marlon, can I begin by getting you to tell us a little bit what ADRA's work is?
Adventist Development Relief Agency, or ADRA, on this program is working across Mozambique, Zambia and Malawi.
Is all the money for this work that you do in Malawi, Zambia, Mozambique, is that coming through the Adventist Church?
The money that we receive for my program is primarily, or 90% of it, is from AusAid, the Australian government, through a program called Australian Partnership with African Communities, and that's to the tune of about $8.5 million for a five-year program. And we're working in the areas of health, particularly in HIV impact mitigation and in food security.
I'm just interested to decode that HIV impact mitigation. We're looking at countries where I think Zambia has 11 million people, 16% HIV positive, more than 1.5 million. I think Mozambique is 21 million and more than 2 million HIV positive people. What is ADRA doing in that context?
Well, I mean, I think everybody's aware of the huge scale of HIV, as you just pointed out. And what we're trying to do is to assist particularly vulnerable households to deal with the impact that HIV or AIDS is having on traditional support networks. You have a lot of the productive age groups, so the adults that would be normally out working and providing for a household, they are the ones that are dying from HIV, and you're left with old people and children with no sort of support networks. Now, traditionally, old people and children would be supported through extended families, but when you've got this HIV or AIDS affecting, you know, the whole swathe of productive age group in a community, those traditional networks are just becoming overstretched.
Can I ask, is there any such thing as a pension or a healthcare benefit in Malawi or in Zimbabwe or Tanzania or those surrounding countries? Do they have any such sort of social support?
No, none at all. The only country in the region that's got something like that in place is South Africa. The rest, the health system is overstretched and underfunded, so anything like a pension is just a luxury, really, that's not going to be happening for a while, I'm afraid.
Well, I think, Marlon, before you said that everybody understands the scale of it, I'm not sure that everybody quite gets what the impact of it is so easily as somebody like you who's on the ground. What do you actually see? What evidence do you see of the impact of HIV/AIDS?
Well, I'll give you an example that sort of highlights the issues that we see and we deal with all the time. Here in Malawi, where I am at the moment, just down the road, is an 8-year-old girl called Tembile, and she lives with her grandmother because both of her parents have died from HIV. Now, she was very sick for quite a while, and our extension workers that were working in the community actually encouraged the grandmother, on seeing what the situation was, to take her to a clinic. Now, the clinic was a 4-hour walk away, so for a grandmother and a sick little girl, it was quite a mission, but they sort of helped her with that. The girl got tested, and the girl's actually HIV positive, and that's why she's been sick for so many years. She would have got it from her mother. Now, the grandmother has to spend a lot of time looking after her and other children. So what the clinic was able to do was to put her on ARVs, or antiretrovirals.
These are the drugs which will actually slow the disease down, in fact can give almost a normal life expectancy, provided there's good nutrition and health.
Yes, exactly, provided there's good nutrition, yes. And in rural areas, until recently, a lot of these drugs have not been available, but the government, with a lot of external funding, is slowly starting to increase the access to these. So Tembile was able to get onto the antiretroviral drugs and made quite a significant recovery, to the point where at least the grandmother now is not having to be with her 24 hours a day. She's able to go out, work in her little garden, in her field. And Tembile is recovering, and we're hoping that in her case, she may recover to the point where she will be able to go back to school.
Can I ask for Simbili, how realistic are three meals a day, three good meals a day?
Well, if it's only your grandmother that's supporting you, realistically, three meals a day is probably a bit of a luxury. You might be able to get one good one, or one good one and another smaller meal. And as you said before, it's important that they actually do get enough nutrition, because otherwise these drugs don't have the positive effect that they can have.
While I was visiting the Nairobi slums earlier this year, I came into contact with quite a number of people, young kids who are HIV positive and older people, who were surviving on cornmeal, really. That's all they could get. And the doctors there were finding that even though the Kenyan government had managed to supply the ARV, the antiretroviral drugs, the drugs were actually attacking their intestines and effectively making them very unwell simply because they didn't have food and adequate nutrition. Is that what you're experiencing there too?
Yes, that's exactly right. If you don't have adequate nutrition, then you might as well not be on the drugs, because it requires that you're getting a balanced diet. You know, you're getting your protein, your vitamins and your staple, which is, in this part of the world, is that maize meal or that white corn meal. That's quite common. So that becomes the next issue that you have to deal with. If somebody is sick from HIV, then they become less productive to work in their field. If they aren't able to work in their field, they have less storage of food, because they're all subsistence farmers where we're working in rural areas. And then without enough food, then it makes them sick. So it's sort of like a vicious cycle that just keeps going around. So we're trying to make inroads into two key areas, into the health aspect and into the improved food availability.
So this is sort of the prong of what ADRA, the Adventist Relief Agency, is trying to do. It's food, plus it's also response to HIV, but they go hand in hand.
Yes, you sort of can't really deal with one effectively in the context over here without the other one, and that's what in ADRA we're working on.
How do you, as an aid worker, I mean, you're Sydney-born, but you spent some of your childhood growing up in Africa, you've told me. How do you keep your own sense of hope and purpose going when there must be so many related problems, when you're looking at food difficulties, illness, economies that suffer because of corruption? How do you keep your own energy up?
I think that you've got to have a deep down sense of optimism and belief that things can change. And when you do see positive changes happening in the lives of individuals who can benefit from some of the interventions that we in ADRA are working on, it does give you encouragement, despite the, you know, maybe the scale, or you think, well, you know, are we really making a huge difference given the size of the problems here? But no, I mean, it is quite exciting. For example, in Zambia, we're working with traditional birth attendants, upskilling them or improving their ability to assist with birth in the villages.
Can I ask there, what sort of methods are you teaching them?
With birth attendants, we are giving them tips, teaching them what would, I guess, be fairly basic information about some of the, maybe the traditional ways that have been used, using unclean knives and razor blades.
Is this for cutting the umbilical cord? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's right. Cutting the umbilical cord, doing prenatal examinations, basic ones, and if they can see any complications, getting the mother to a clinic where there's a much better chance of both her and the baby surviving and being healthy. Trying to reduce the transmission of the HIV virus from the mother to the baby, which happens most frequently at birth when the umbilical cord is cut and there's, you know, a lot of blood around and that. So if we can reduce that, we will have less situations like Timbule, where she contracted HIV from her mother. And as I was saying before, we're seeing a lot of success with these traditional birth attendants. It was quite funny. I was visited them once, had a meeting with these birth attendants that we had provided training to, and they wanted to show me examples of their success. And I said, well, how is it going? And they said, well, we brought samples. And I said, you brought samples? Samples of what? And they said, well, here, these are young mothers over here with their new babies. Here's the samples of the success of our work, which I thought was quite an interesting way to refer to babies.
Mothers and babies who are healthy. Can I get you to put a bit of context on for us, having seen some of the clinics in Nairobi that were working within the slums in particular, what you tell me about teaching infection control to birth attendants is not a surprise, but there'd be lots of people listening to this program who don't quite get why it is that ADRA's trying to help birth attendants understand that the use of an unclean razor blade or a knife is probably not a good thing. Can you tell us some of the conditions these births are happening in?
When you've got very low education levels in the rural areas, and I guess in slums like you referred to in Nairobi, things that, again, we may take for granted, like basic information about hygiene, washing hands, about using clean razor blades, using clean bandages, anything like that, is not something that people will necessarily know about. And we're able to assist the government health centres, which are overstretched. I mean, one government health centre might be covering 100 square kilometres in a remote area in Mozambique or in Zambia. And they'll have one nurse and they'll have maybe two nurse assistants. And so people that are more than sort of walking distance in a few hours, if they're very sick, are just not getting there. It can make a big difference when your resources are stretched like they are over here.
What gives you the most satisfaction in your work there in those three countries?
I guess the satisfaction comes from the fact that you do see positive changes, you do see appreciation for the work that we're doing. I mean, you are, on occasion, you know, saving lives, basically, I guess, at the end of the day. And if you could make a bit of a difference and make a contribution to a household or a community or to a district or the country, that's a tremendous sense of satisfaction that you can get.
Marlon Butler, Program Manager for the Adventist Development Relief Agency in Malawi, Zambia and Mozambique. Thanks for being on Sunday Nights.
No worries. Thanks a lot.
And thank you to Noel Debian for another journey to places we don't normally get to.